morning, everyone. This is Linda Santavica on Pressing Beyond. Recently, I went to see a stage production of The Mike Webster Story. This was a phenomenal production put on by the Iron Horse Theater Company. When I walked into the theater for the first time, I was really thrown because from the outside, this little gem looks like one of the many houses that line the streets of Ambridge, an old steel town about 16 miles north of Pittsburgh. But once inside, you will see a fully renovated 60-seat theater that's garnering a lot of attention and buzz traveling beyond the outskirts of Ambridge. London Kane, artistic director of the Iron Horse Theater Company, saw Ambridge as anything but a small town. His vision to bring the arts into the community encouraged him to press beyond all challenges and go all in to build what seemed impossible. Good morning, London.
Good morning, Linda. Thanks for having me.
Great to have you here. I know our listeners would love to know how it all started. So just to get some backstory on you.
Yeah, it's quite a story. I guess it's a long story. I'm not even sure where to start. But I guess I can tell you that, you know, I've always been interested in theater from the time I was a kid. And I've moved around quite a bit in my life. So I've been able to do theater in lots of different places around the world. I ended up moving to Pittsburgh in 2010, and I wanted to continue doing community theater. So I basically, around 2010, that was a time when my son was pretty young, so I didn't have a lot of free time at that point. But around 2015, I started thinking about doing theater again. And so I began the process of starting up a nonprofit theater company and looking for a venue, looking for a place where we can perform. That's kind of the beginning of, you know, where it all started, I guess you can say.
But when you were in California, you were heavily involved in the performing arts.
Yes, that's true. I lived in a small town there, Morro Bay, California, and we have a few local community theaters in that area. And so I was doing productions, at least I'd say between acting and directing and performing, a few productions every year. And plus I was a teacher in California as well, in Santa Maria, California. And I was teaching drama and I also had an after-school drama clubs. Between all those things for about 10 years in California, I was doing that.
Given you're from Pittsburgh, you're out in California, what brought you back to Pittsburgh?
I have to say that was sort of my wife's idea. Mm-hmm. I actually didn't mind coming back to Pittsburgh. I love Pittsburgh. I'm originally from the North Side. I moved away at a fairly young age, still a teenager, and moved to Florida and lived in a lot of different places. Actually met my wife in Nashville, Tennessee. She's from a place in Central Coast, California called San Luis Obispo. Mm-hmm. So we ended up getting married. We ended up settling in California, that Central Coast area, because that's where her family was from. I did come back to Pittsburgh for a short period of time. We both worked on our master's degree together at University of Pittsburgh. So we did come back for a few years, finished our master's degree at Pitt, lived up in Squirrel Hill, back to California again. And that's when, you know, my wife had a baby and we were, you know, busy being mom and dad and raising our son and quit her career. She put that on hold for a while. And then around 2010, we decided to, you know, to change our lives a bit and come back here to Pittsburgh. For a variety of reasons. It was mostly my wife's idea because she's a psychotherapist. There's more opportunities for her at that point in time in Pittsburgh than there were in that part of California. So it was mainly a career decision on her part, and I supported that. I'm a teacher, and I was able to get a job here in Pittsburgh up in Moon.
Oh, wonderful. Simultaneously, while you're teaching, this desire to still run a theater, it didn't wane with you. How did things evolve to the Iron Horse Theater?
I was not really thinking in terms of having a theater itself, a venue. Mm-hmm. I mainly wanted to have a theater company and to be able to maybe look for places where that we can rent them for a period of time and perform different things. So that was sort of the original goal around 2015. Like I said, my son was getting older. He didn't have to care for him as much as I had been doing. And so I had a little bit of free time and I thought, yeah, let's get theater going again. So that was the idea. I did come across a place in Leedsdale. It was a church that was for sale. I thought, well, this would make a fabulous theater. And so I talked to my brother about it. We were going to become partners and buy this theater there in Leedsdale. That actually fell through. And so that idea sort of went by the wayside. And I was about to, you know, kind of give up on that completely and just do what I originally thought, which was just, you know, find locations, different locations and perform. Of course, that was not easy to do. It's actually really hard to do that. It seems like it might be something that's doable, but when you actually start looking into it, it's not as easy as it might sound. I found another place in Ambridge, and I really didn't know anything about Ambridge other than going to, you know, Old Economy a couple times with my son, and that was about it. We found a place there. It was a definite fixer-upper. It was pretty much about one step away from being condemned, to be honest. So I asked my brother again. I said, hey, I bought a place. It's a great location. And even then, I wasn't really thinking about a permanent situation. I was mainly thinking of it as a place to store costumes and maybe do rehearsals, you know, rehearsal space, and still find other locations for the actual performances, because the building was pretty much a mess at that point. To continue with the story, I was actually on the north side after we had purchased the building, and I went into a bookstore that, you know, this is an area that I grew up in. The bookstore was not there when I was growing up, but it was actually the only place open when I was there on a Sunday. And I kind of, you know, just casually walked into this bookstore and was looking around, and I saw a book on the shelf right near where the cash register was at, and it said Rust Belt Boy. And it caught my attention. You know, I asked the owner of the bookstore, I said, what is that book about? And she told me it was a writer from Ambridge. And it was about that, you know, the history of that area. And I said, wow, that's interesting to me, because I have a building over there that recently purchased, and I'm interested in converting that into a theater. So I bought the book and I read it. And I think at that point, after reading the book, is when I realized I really want to change something in that town. I really want to make a difference there. And that's when I think the idea really hit me that let's make this a really special place, you know, something that we would all be proud of. That's when I started really learning about Ambridge and really wanting to do something for that community. That's when I started the process of turning that building into what it is today.
So London, first of all, it's amazing that you have a heart for Ambridge. Since I've been living not too far from Ambridge, within the last 5 years, I was going there. I was taking classes up at the school there. 5 years ago, it was a very oppressed town, but now they're revitalizing the area. You know, they're shooting a lot of films up there. There's restaurants and breweries going up, and now the Iron Horse Theater. Once you read the book, you and your brother invested in this rundown. It was, I guess, a church at first.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't look like any kind of a church. It looks like any normal, you know, two-story brick building.
It does. It looks like a house.
It does. In fact, it used to be originally back in the 30s when it was built. I was told it was a bar at one time down below, and upstairs was a place where the owner lived. It didn't last long as a bar. A church group came in and bought the building and made it a small church. And then later on, another church group came in and bought it and expanded onto the back to make the building bigger. And that was the church group that I ended up buying it from. When I eventually tore the roof off, you know, there were 7 layers of roofing material up there, including the original roof. So there was quite a bit of damage just to the roof itself. It was very much in disrepair. And I don't think too many people would have looked at that building and really, you know, my wife, when we walked in, like the first words out of her mouth was, no, 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 you're not buying this. No. Like she just kept telling me everywhere we look. And I kept thinking, like, I don't know. I kind of think it has potential.
Yeah. I mean, you see something that is run down. You just don't see any promise. What I appreciate about your story is how you really press beyond to renovate this building, because you couldn't get any help at first.
Not too many people shared the vision that I had. Like I said, originally, not too many people cared. And you know, I was just going to fix it up, patch things up and make it into, like I said, a rehearsal space for me and a place to keep props and costumes and such. When it became bigger than that, when I decided, no, let's make this a really special place, and I started having plans drawn up, my brother said, hey, well, you know, try to raise money. And so I took some, you know, I called a few contractors, got some bids. Everyone was giving me bids of $300,000-$400,000 around that area to fix the building up the way it needed to be done. And so I thought, well, you know, we're a 501c3 nonprofit. Let's try to raise money. And of course, not like I said, not a lot of people was able to see the vision that I had in my head. I'm not a person that can go out there and just sort of, you know, sell people on that kind of a thing. So it's something I was not very good at. But out of my frustration, it one day went in there and just said, I'm going to do it myself. I'll just start tearing it apart and I'll do what I can. I'll put it back together. So I'm not a carpenter. I don't have any real skills when it comes to, you know, plumbing or electrical or anything like that. But I'm good at knocking stuff down. So
you're good at demolition.
I was really good at the demolition part, you know, knocking walls down and ripping things apart and making a big pile of debris. That was fun for me, actually. It was a lot of work, out of frustration than anything. I went in there and started tearing things apart. Of course, you know, putting it back together was the key. And that's where the interesting, almost a miracle really comes in, because, and it started with the last day of school. It was our school social. Teachers were getting together, you know, that last day to, you know, meet. And I ended up going to the wrong place. And so I went to this restaurant bar, Pyramid Moon, and no one was in there. And I thought, wow, am I the first one here or what's going on? But there was actually one person sitting there, and I sat next to him and I ordered a beer. And started a conversation. And I turned out that he was a carpenter. And I told him about my theater. And he on the spot said, I'd like to help you with that. At the time, I didn't think anything of it. I thought, well, maybe he'll show up and volunteer for a day and help me a little bit. But it turned out he ended up coming there and working every weekend, every chance both of us had, really. My entire summers, I would spend all day there. And his name was Doug May. And Doug so Doug May. And I got to be good friends, and we did this project together. We pretty much did 90% of it ourselves.
And you know something, London, somebody sent you an angel, and angel. Doug is a saint. And I'll tell you, what you two did to that building is not to be believed. When I walked in, I could not believe in this town of Ambridge, there is a theater that looks amazing. It's a beautiful house inside. But go on. So now you two you've done 90% of the work.
Yeah, we still had other volunteers that would show up, you know, not like us, where we were there every day, every weekend, every summer. But we did have volunteers that would come in occasionally, you know, and volunteer to work a weekend here and there. We also eventually had to get a real plumber in there to do some work and a real electrician to do that part of it, because even with our skill set, we weren't able to do some of that stuff. The entire building was gutted.
You set your mind to do it and nothing was going to stop you.
I think that's correct. I've always been like that. I've been like that all my life. Once I set my mind to something, I really latch on and don't let go. And my wife knows that about me. So she knew once I latched onto that project that there was no way I was going to quit until
it
was done.
You were all in. How did you come up with the name Iron Horse Theater Company?
Well, that was actually, you know, my wife and I actually did that together. You know, she mentioned the name Iron Horse, and I'm like, that's perfect. I love that name. I like it. Number one, it's the locomotives. You know, the Native Americans called the old locomotives Iron Horses. If you're from the area, you know that you can hear the trains passing and going all the time.
Yes.
And it's always a sign. I always think of it as a sign that the economy is going strong, that things are going well. You know, when you hear these trains going up and down, you know that the things are going well. And so that's kind of what I was hoping. Also, like the, you know, the little train that can, you know.
It's aligned beautifully with what you're doing. You now have this theater and it's really fully established.
Just falling in love with the town of Ambridge and wanting to do something for the entire town, just something special. And I believed it could happen. I always think that if you bring in the arts, you know, other things will follow.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, that was sort of the idea. You know, let me build something special here and then let's just see what happens.
And it's going to happen. And let's look at the demographic. I don't think there's really any theaters up there.
Nothing that I know of. I know there was a movie theater there at one point that closed down. Like I said, we want to bring in people from Moon. We want to bring in people from Swickley, people from Baden, people from Beaver, people, and of course, the people from Ambridge. You know, we're sort of in a location, I think, to bring people from.
You will not have a problem, because downtown Pittsburgh, there is theater. But for some people who live this further north, going downtown could be a little bit of a hassle. And your production, I mean, let's talk about your first production.
Yeah, we did Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune.
And you said that from the get-go, I mean, you know, it wasn't a full house, but you had a good turnout.
We had a decent turnout. I mean, it was it was our very first production. Our theater was open. We opened, like I said, in 2018. It was a big deal to us, but not everybody knew we were open. So a lot of people weren't aware of us. Like I said, I'm not a marketing person. I'm a theater person, but I was trying to wear all these hats, you know, from being a carpenter and marketing and artistic director and doing pretty much everything at that point.
You're running on all cylinders and all of them are going really well. So that was your first production, Frankie and Johnny and the Clair de Lune. And then in between your latest, which was the 1252, the Mike Webster story, you've had also Comedy Night. You also have concert series and really very talented musical guests.
Yeah, this year we added a comedy concert weekend once a month. It's actually five times a year, but we didn't open until July. So it's kind of for 5 months in a row, we're doing comedy concerts once a month. And so, yeah, we added live stand-up comedy, and these are professional stand-up comedians that come in. We book them. We bring them in. You know, a lot of people were telling me for a couple of years now that it looks like the kind of venue that would be great for stand-up comedy. So I went ahead and I put that in place. And then concerts as well. Not just, I love local talent. We still do plenty of things with local talent, but we want to bring in people from other areas as well. Our first group we brought in was Jacob Khalil and his band. He's from New York.
Yeah.
He was actually performing in Las Vegas when he was shut down. I saw him when I was in Puerto Rico. He was amazing. And we emailed him just to try it. I didn't think he'd even respond, but he responded and said that he would perform in Ambridge.
Now, let's talk about, and this was my first experience at the Iron Horse Theater, was your latest production, which unfortunately for all you listeners who didn't get a chance to see it, it has closed, but it was the 1252, the Mike Webster story. Tell us how you breathed life into that, because that was amazing. And we all know Pittsburgh is a sports mecca. This play has never been done before.
No, we were actually doing a play called The Whipping Man, and I got an email from the person who was basically shopping that play around, and I instantly loved it. I mean, Iron Mike, you know, we're the Iron Horse, and I've always, part of what you mentioned about our name, and it's symbolic because we always feel like we're representing the iron-willed people of this world. We feel like that, you know, the spirit of grit and determination and the strength of human character, all that is part of our mission. And this play just was perfect for that. So it caught my attention right away. That was back at the end of 2019. And we decided that we were going to perform that in June of 2020. Of course, that didn't happen because of COVID. It was sort of put off until this September. We just finished the run. So it was on hold for a long time, but we eventually got this play in, and it was absolutely amazing. The cast was amazing. Everything about it was incredible. I actually participated in you know, part of writing it. The writer, Ross Howard, had it originally as a three-act play, and I saw some things in there that I thought we should change. And so he flew out here. He flew to Ambridge, and we sat down and we made a few changes. And I think it was an amazing play, really
extraordinary. Everything about it, the level of production was so professional. The cast was amazing. The writing, everything about it, on all levels. And when I was there, it was, I think it was one of the later productions, Frank O'Hara showed up.
Yeah, it was great having Franco there. He's sort of one of my heroes growing up. I'm sure a lot of Pittsburghers feel the same way. A nice thing about Franco, too, is a lot of, you know, these celebrities, especially, you know, former Steelers. And so I didn't want to, you know, bother him. But Franco stayed there for about an hour and a half and signed every autograph. People brought things that they were bringing up to him. And he was standing outside and just signing everything. He stayed the entire time till every person who wanted an autograph got one. So I was pretty amazed with Franco doing that. He didn't have to do that.
And from what I heard, there were a few other players from the Steelers that showed up. So it is word of mouth. Right. That's the one thing about the Iron Horse Theater. You told me you bought property on either side of the theater. You're going to need it because you're going to have to blow out some more walls to install more seating.
We have a nice courtyard now. That the nice thing about owning the property on at least on both sides, it gives us a little buffer zone there, so you know, we're not disturbing neighbors next to us or anything. But we have a courtyard, and we're really excited about that as well. So people can, you know, go outside during intermission.
Yes, you have tables out there. It's wonderful.
We have a garden club that came in there, and they're like, we want to make this even more beautiful than it already is, and they're working on that, adding all kinds of plants and trees and all kinds of things out there in the courtyard. It's a work in progress. I think it'll probably always be a work in progress.
And you know something, London, as long as it's a work in progress, you're also going to garner a lot of people who are going to want to get involved. Like you said, you get people from the garden club to work on the landscaping. Yeah, you get people who come in, they want to write or direct or get involved. I mean, this is the kind, what you're doing is not just bringing something to the community, but you are expounding on a community. That's the Iron Horse Theater. You could see when I was there, I said, wow, who's the family that does this? And it's great. So what are some of the upcoming productions on the calendar?
So right now we're focusing on our after school programs. We have an after school program that actually starts next Tuesday. Mm-hmm. So we have kids that come from 4 to 6. They do art class. They have voice lessons. They have music. Doing a play called a musical Frozen, a Disney play. I have kids ages grades 5 through 9. Mm-hmm. Do the theater part, the acting part, and do the play. I have younger kids, K through 4, that'll do the art things that we do there. So that starts Tuesday of next week, and that'll run all the way till the middle of April, all the way to Easter.
Wonderful.
We have another play coming up at the end of October and November. It's Over the River and Through the Woods. The director, Dave Newhart, has directed it before. It's one of the most popular plays, according to him, that he's ever done. I've been working at the theater and watching them rehearse. And they're a really strong cast. I think people are going to love the cast. They're amazing as well. Great actors and great play. It's very funny and actually kind of heartwarming as well. And then we finished this season in December with a holiday cabaret, just comedy sketches and music. This is sort of a lot of fun for to finish this to year out during the holiday season.
All right. So you have a website, ironhorsetheatercompany.com. Theater with theatre. So it's the ironhorsetheatercompany.com. And that's where people can get on there, learn about how all this came into being and see what shows and where they can get their tickets and everything and where it's located. I think this is wonderful, London.
Thank you, Linda. I appreciate it.
You built something from nothing. And what you're doing, it's just growing and it's all good. It's for the people out there. In a wonderful town called Ambridge. Well, thank you very much, London.
Thank you, Linda. I really appreciate being here.
Okay, thank you so much.